Papa, we do ask for revelation this morning. We ask that you speak to our hearts, because, Lord, you know that our hearts long to hear from you, to know what your thoughts are towards us. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this time in your word. Speak to us and free us this morning. Amen. Well, I started a series last week. Last week we were talking about the imagination. So I'm going to pick up one of the scriptures that we had last week. And it's Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. And it talks about the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards you, us who believe. We could spend all morning in these couple of verses because they are so full of what God wants us to know. But notice that it talks about the eyes of your understanding. Last week we looked at the fact that that word is dianoia. It's our way of thinking, and it's our internal perceptions, and it's also this whole area of the imagination. We have eyes on the inside. Your eyes are on the inside, are working, seeing all kinds of things. Some of you are seeing your lunch. Some of you are seeing, well, Ray wasn't until I mentioned that, now he is. See, religion has told us that we should not use our imagination, because our imagination will take us places that we should not go. Well, you know, cars will take you places you should not go to. But praise God, none of us came here on a donkey this morning. So we're meant to decide where we are going to go and use what God gives us to take us there. And sadly, I believe many Christians aren't using the power of their imagination the way that God wants them to use it. And we think that it is going to lead to a holy life to turn off what God gave us so that we can see into a realm that we do not see. That would have been a good place to say amen. So last week, but it wasn't that long ago, was it? Last week I had you do some exercises using your imagination. Remember, I asked you to find your favourite chair in your house and in your imagination to sit in it, or to sit in your favourite spot with God, and to just see yourself sitting there. Did anyone find that hard to do last week? Nope. Okay, let's do it right now. Just see yourself in your house, sitting in your favourite chair. Are you all there? Take long? No. You can go there because you've been there. I want you to imagine for a moment, if I asked you to, in your imagination, walk into Benny Hinn's house and walk through his house into his lounge and sit in Benny Hinn's favourite chair. Who reckons they'd have a bit of a hard time doing that? We couldn't do it because we haven't been there. God wants us to be so familiar with the spirit realm that we can be there just as quickly as you can see yourself sitting in your favourite chair. See, God made us three parts. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So in this verse, it talks about us as being spirit, soul, and body. But do you know that your spirit and your soul are so close that sometimes it's hard to tell the difference? In fact, Hebrews 4 says that it's the word of God that will pierce to the division of soul and spirit. It's the word of God that helps us know, oh, that's just me, or, oh, that's God. Ever found that? That God gives you something and all of a sudden you realize that that's God and what you were thinking was quite different. That's the power of the word of God. But because our soul and our spirit are so closely knit together, often the Bible refers to us like we're only two part. It talks about the outer man and the inner man, or it talks about our heart. So let's have a look at this scripture here. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." Our inward man. So we've got in this verse in Corinthians where we can see there's an outward man and there is an inward man. There is a seen realm and there is an unseen realm. The amazing thing that this verse reveals is that we are meant to be looking at the unseen. And we're going to talk about that this morning, about seeing the unseen. The only reason that it is unseen is because our physical eyes or the eyes of our outward man cannot see it. It's our inner eyes or the eyes of our spirit man that can see. And God wants us to live seeing from our inner man. In fact, this verse reveals that unless we're doing that, we're going to lose heart. Ever found that? That you start looking at what you're dealing with, you start looking at the bills to pay, you start looking at the needs, you start looking at the circumstances, you start looking at the relationships that are a bit strained, you start looking at this and that, you start looking at the scene, and what do? Oh, you lose heart. It's like, oh dear God, help me. But the Lord says, hey, you're looking with your wrong eyes. Start looking with the eyes of the inner man. And as we start to look with the eyes of our inner man, we start to gain strength. We start to gain hope. We start to know that he who is for us is far greater than he that is against us. That is the way God wants us to live. To see the unseen and to live from the unseen. So we're going to be speaking about that today. See, Jesus said, "I do what I see my Father doing." Well, Papa God was not on earth. Papa God was in heaven. Jesus lived his life looking at the unseen. And I think he wants us to live that way as well. Ever been somewhere and you kind of just sense that God's doing something, or that you should go and see that person, or you should ring up that person? Found that? Okay, yeah, I'm seeing a few hands and a few nods. That is living from the unseen realm. And that is normal Christianity. I had a from John. It was a halfway towards an amen. Didn't he do well? Okay, let's have a look at some other scriptures along this, and then we're going to be doing some things this morning. Okay, let's finish off the rest, verse 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. Things you can see with your natural eyes are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. The unseen realm is longer lasting than anything we can see with our eyes. The seen and the unseen. If we want to live victorious, if we want to live powerful in God, if we want to live with that ability to not lose heart, we need to tap in to this unseen realm. And that's why last week we spent quite a lot of time talking about our imagination and helping people to own their imagination and not to turn it off and not think that you're being spiritual to shut down what God has given you. Okay, Hebrews 5, verse 12 and 13 says this, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, I'm kind of being ticked off a little bit here, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Some people look at this passage of scripture and they try and keep it in the natural. But it's talking here about the oracles of God, God says. And it says that we stay as babes when we're unskilled in the word of righteousness, not acts of righteousness. Now, acts will follow. I don't say, you know, that they're unimportant. But they will follow. Maturity comes as we start to understand righteousness. Now, righteousness, grace, and peace, and mercy, they all go together in this wonderful package. But righteousness is our right standing with God. And if we don't understand that, we will stay babies. Why? Because we will wear condemnation. To move in the realm of the Spirit, we have to have confidence that we can do that. See, let me put it this way. I want you to imagine for a moment sending a 5-year-old child off to school. Okay? Heading off to school. What are two things that child needs to know? Yeah, you'll pick them up. I mean, that I'm sure the child wants to know that, yes. Okay, first day of class, I taught new entrants for a while. When a child came through the door, what do you think might be the first question I asked that kid? Hello, what is your name? So if you're sending a little 5-year-old kid off to school, you want them to know their name, and hopefully more than I am Johnny. Johnny who? What else do you want that 5-year-old child to know? Great, where they live. Who are you and where do you live? Folks, if we haven't figured that out, we're not ready for the school of the Spirit yet. Who are you? Are you Sinner Sally? Are you barely saved by grace? Hoping on the mercy of God? Who are you? And I can hear some rumblings. I know a lot of you here know who you are and you're trying to think up some right words. You're a son or a daughter of the living God. Once you have given your life to Jesus, you are a brand new creation. Who you once were is dead and gone. You are a child of God. Great. Most of us are coming to terms with the first question. What about the second question? Where do you live? Do you live in Grumbleville? Do you live on Barely Get Along Street? Do you live in Life's a Mess Ave? Where do you live? Yeah, I'm starting to get some good answers from you. No, we don't want Crisis Corner, no. Where do you live? Do you live only from the seen realm? Because if you do, you'll find yourself on Crisis Corner a few times. We've all been there, right? Oh, God, help me. Papa wants us to start to grow up and to know who we are and where we live. We live in the spirit realm. See, you are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. And most of us think round the other way. I am a body, and somewhere in there, I have a spirit, a sort of some little wee dot in the middle. Because somebody drew me a picture once, and I have a big body, and I have a smaller soul, and I have a wee tiny spirit somewhere in the middle. When you leave your body for good, and you step outside of it, you will look just like you, a wonderful glorified version of you. Because you are a spirit. And we're meant to live from the spirit realm. And many times we're not moving in the things that God has for us because we're living out of our natural. And God says, but you're my kid, your spirit. Live from your spirit. Sometimes it takes a while to come to the terms with the fact that we are a spirit being. One of the things I would encourage you to do, and I know that has helped me realize that I am a spirit that just lives inside a body. It's many times when I'm in bed at night and I lie down, I can feel my body lie down and relax, but I know I'm still awake on the inside. And you can start to feel that difference, and you can get to the stage where you can be aware that you have this body, and this body is just lying there. But you, the person, are still communing with God. You are still fully aware. I remember one time we were meant to be preaching some, I can't even remember where, but I know that we had places that we were going and we were ministering and we were ministering here, and it was like I had, you know, three or four messages to pull together at once, and I was really tired, and it's like I had decided that this afternoon I was going to sit down and write the next message for the next place that we were going to be ministering. So I went and I sat down at my desk to get the message ready. And I just felt the Lord say, go and lie down. It's like, you've got to be joking. This is my time slot to write my message. And you want me to go and sleep? I can't afford to do that yet. That will have to come later, the end of the day. But I just felt the Lord say, trust me, go and lie down. So I thought, okay, well, you better wake me up then. I was thinking, you know, 10, 15, 20-minute power nap, wake up, I'd be alert, I'd write my message. I went and I lay down. And when I lay down, I was suddenly aware that I definitely was not sleepy on the inside. And while I lay there, I was very conscious my body was having a rest. It was having a good time. It was fine. And I wrote my whole message talking to the Lord while my body was having a rest. When I got up, all I had to do was sit down and type it all into the computer. It was done. It's like, wow, thank you, Lord. Now, I don't get many messages like that. I wish they would all come like that, but they don't. But I encourage you, start to become aware that you live inside a body. Your spirit man is separate from your body. It's just the house that you live in. And especially at night time, especially if you have a bit of trouble sleeping, and I mean, we prayed for insomnia earlier, but I would encourage you to do that. Go to bed and be aware that you've put this body in a flat position, told it to do nothing but just lie there, and start relating with God. Start become aware of who you are in your spirit. Jesus said this in John 3. He was talking to Nicodemus, and he said, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. He's talking about himself. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Says two things there. I came down from heaven and I am in heaven. We live in two realms, folks. And sadly, many of us are only conscious of the seen realm. The more we become conscious of the unseen, the more we will be able to flow with the things of the Spirit and start to minister from that unseen realm. So we see that in the life of Jesus. I better check it's the next one I'm going to. Actually, I'm going back there. We're going back to Hebrews 5. I want to pick up that last verse. We've looked at the first two, that's why I've got them paler there. Verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is not talking about lifestyle. It's not talking about how we live. It's talking about our senses of our spirit man being able to discern what is of God and what isn't of God. Who has got something and then gone, is that me? Is that God? I don't think it's the devil, but I'm not sure about the other two. Yeah, quite a few of you are nodding on that one. Well, the Bible tells us how to deal with that. It's called practice. It's having our senses exercised. It's doing something. Who's found that exercise takes getting out of a chair and doing something? When we start to exercise in the realm of the Spirit, we start to do something. Does that mean you're going to get it perfectly right? No. You're going to find that there's times you're going to miss God. But Papa wants us to exercise our spiritual senses, our ability to see, our ability to hear, our ability to feel things in the realm of the Spirit. Remember one of the fun things I did with the girls when they were little? I took them on a field trip. and we went to Queen Street. And I took them in and out of places on Queen Street. And the assignment was, when we step into this place, I want you to pick up what the spiritual atmosphere of this place is and tell me what you sense. I said, I don't want you to look around. I don't want you to use your natural eyes. I want you to go in there and pick up what is happening in the realm of the spirit. So we had fun. We went in and out places. I didn't take them into anything really seedy. But there was a few places that we went into and it's like, oh, I don't feel clean in here. See, your spiritual sense will pick up something. You will go into a place. Who's gone into somebody's home and you know they've had an argument? You can pick that up. It's not seen, it's unseen. See, we kind of do this a little bit in part. Who's gone into a place and you just feel uncomfortable? It's like, ugh. Yep. That's your spiritual senses picking things up. And God wants us to be able to do that, to walk into a place and go, somebody here is struggling with rejection. To pick things up. I mean, the words of knowledge I had this morning, I just had them while we were worshipping. I didn't have to go and pray and fast for 5 hours and go, oh, please, God, tell me. Please, please, please tell me. No, it's like, okay. When we start to know what it is to tune into our spirit man, it's as easy as me telling you to go and see yourself sitting in your favorite chair. The Quakers call it centering in. Centering in on your spirit man. Clark Taylor talks about, what does he call it? I'm asking you. Reaching down, yeah. He talks about reaching down into his spirit man. I kind of like to see it as just sort of tuning in. You know, where you have a radio and you just turn the dial or push a button and it's like you go from one, you go into the other. We're meant to be able to live in both realms. And that is meant to be normal for us. It's not unusual for us to have conversations on the inside, even while we're talking to somebody. See, I can be talking to you, but I can be thinking something on the inside at the moment. And especially while you're there, or especially while you're talking to somebody. Who's had a conversation with somebody and they're talking to you and you're listening as best you can, but on the inside you're thinking, oh, I must remember when I go home. I've got to do such and such. You know, oh, yeah, oh, that's really interesting. You're having two conversations at once, right? Come on, many of you do that all the time. But we're meant to be able to do that, not on the soul realm, where we're just thinking through some things with our brain or going, oh, I wonder what he's doing wearing that shirt. Well, yeah, I think he wore that shirt last week. Yeah. And we're just thinking things through on our soul realm. We're meant to be able to be communicating on the spirit level and have a communication with somebody and be saying, okay, Papa, what do you want to say to this person? What's your heart for them? Some of us just need to come down a gear. We do it very well with our soul, but we need to just kick down into the realm of our spirit. And instead of having this conversation with ourselves, start having a conversation with the Lord. See, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. You don't have to wait for an email from heaven. He's right there on the inside. Sadly, many of us, when we pray, we're praying to a God that's way out there, way, way beyond the blue. God saying, no, I came and I live in you. I'm as close as your thoughts. He wants us to talk and communicate with him. Revelation 1:10 says of John, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. There wasn't a natural trumpet. It wasn't somebody in a marching band that turned up. He heard with his spiritual ears. Our ability to hear with our spiritual ears is determined simply by whether we are in the Spirit or not. And again, being in the Spirit is not something that takes a long time to do. You just become aware of your spirit. And you become aware of that realm. And the more we do it and the more familiar we are with it, the quicker we can do it. Again, it comes back to the illustration of asking you to walk through Benny Hinn's house and sit in his favourite chair. You can't do that because you haven't been there. But you can sit in your favourite chair because you've been there many times. Moving in the realm of the Spirit is meant to be that easy. You're just there because that's where you live. I'm going to have to move a little bit quicker. Actually, no, we're doing well time-wise. Let's come back to this, Ephesians 1:18 and 19. We're probably going to, in this series, come back to this a couple of times. The eyes of your understanding, or your imagination, or your internal eyes, the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your spirit, being enlightened. That word enlightened is the word photizo, and it's where we get photo from. God wants our imagination or our inner man or our spirit to carry pictures. That's why God gives us revelation. And we touched on that a lot last week. But when I was a little girl, I used to love going with my grandfather into the dark room where he developed photos. Who's ever been in where you actually develop photos and send them develop? Yeah, a few of you have. I used to love watching the photo paper, and it was sitting in this tray of solution. And my grandfather would just let that solution wash backwards and forwards across that photo paper. And as it did, this image would start to appear. Papa wants that to happen to us, where we have these images on the inside that are our photo album, just like you have an image of your favourite chair. Do you have an image on the inside of where you live in God? Well, Papa wants you to. Who's used a Polaroid camera? Few of you have. Remember the old Polaroid? You took a photo and then you waited for it to develop. I think one of our problems is that we're not waiting to develop something. We get something from God, we read something in the Bible and it's like, oh yeah, that's great. Thanks, Jesus. Okay, off to work now. We haven't developed our picture. Or we spend our time sitting with God and we've got the God of the universe that we're in communication with and we're telling him all the things we can't do. Anybody have prayer time like that? Or we're telling him about all the things that are in our seen realm. And our imagination does start to work, but it starts to work in the wrong direction. We are seeing the bills that we don't have enough money to pay. We are seeing the need that's coming up. We're seeing this and we're seeing that and we're going, oh, God, help me. Papa's saying, you're looking at the wrong pictures. Let's start by changing some pictures. Let's start by changing from looking at the seen realm to looking at the unseen realm. Because in the unseen realm, there is no defeat. There is no lack. There is no problem. There is no issue. You're just looking at the wrong thing. Who's been on a boat and started to feel seasick? Are you looking at the sea and you're holding on to the side of the boat? What do you need to do? You change your eyes from looking at the sea and you look to the horizon. Some of us need to simply do that. We're holding on to the side of the boat going, oh, I feel like I'm going to throw. This is awful. God's saying, you're looking at the wrong place. Start to look to the horizon. And we're going to finish by doing that. What we're going to do is I'm going to take a scripture. Very simple scripture. Ephesians 2:6. Kind of sums up what we've been talking about. Talks about being raised up together and sitting together in heavenly places. Now, I encourage you to spend time with God and use your imagination to start to see things. Start to train your spiritual senses. Now, you can do that two ways. Number one is simply to develop your sense of vision and to start to see things. So some of the things that you can do, like you can take a scripture like this about being seated together in heavenly places. And we've talked about seeing ourselves in our chair. But what if you just closed your eyes and spent time with God? In fact, you can do that now. And instead of seeing yourself in your favorite chair, what about sitting in Jesus' favorite chair? And as you start to sit there and you start to let your imagination draw that picture for you, what does his chair feel like? Is it some cold old chair you're sitting in? Or is this an amazing chair? You're seated there with him. So you can start to see yourself seated there with him. And you can start to see what it looks like to look from that chair. Okay? That is using your imagination to paint the picture so that you start to see yourself seated in heavenly places. The other way that you can do it is you can actually take the scripture and you can actually start to have a conversation with the Lord about it. So you can start to say, Lord, we're together. We raised up together. I was raised up with you. I'm not living in defeat. I was raised up with you. Wow. Not only that, Jesus, I'm seated with you. Jesus, what does it look like to be seated with you? Where's your favorite chair? And instead of just imagining it, you start to talk it. You start to have a conversation with the Lord. I remember asking the Lord once, Jesus, where's your favorite chair? And he said, right next to Papa. And I was like, wow. Am I seated in that chair too? And as you start to spend time to start to see that and start to hear that, the spirit realm starts to become more natural because you are having conversation. You are exercising your spiritual senses to see, to hear. Then when you're starting to pray for somebody to get a word for them, it's not something like, oh, I wonder if I could ever get a prophetic word. No, I don't think so. You're already used to speaking and seeing and relating from your spirit. So to get something to minister to somebody is easy. And have a cup of coffee with them and, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to that person? And you can hear something or you can see something. And just say, you know, we were just talking together and I just saw this picture of such and such. Does that mean something to you? Bible says, I wish that you all would prophesy. That means that we're all meant to be able to do it. And next week we're going to talk more about actually prophesying. We're going to do some practicing and we're going to do that over the next few weeks. But to do that, we need to be comfortable seeing and hearing in the spirit realm and to know that that's where we live. That's our home. See, our time's nearly run out, but I'm going to give you one more scripture, and I'm going to get you right where you're at to either use your imagination to paint this picture on the inside, okay? Or on the inside, start to say certain aspects of it, the words that stick out to you. Have a conversation. Ask the Lord about it. He will hear you even though it's on the inside. At home you may want to actually talk out. That's up to you. But let's just spend a couple of minutes doing this. And then we'll do some more stuff next week. So here's your scripture. Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. It's a great one for you to close your eyes, to start to picture that, or start to talk to the Lord about it. Let's take a few minutes to do that.